It matters not how we, it matters how we start, but it matters more how we finish the race of faith. And for those of us who are growing older, gray hair can be a crown of glory. And gray hair by itself doesn't mean you're a righteous and godly person, but it's talking about gray hair as a symbol of someone who has walked with the Lord all the days of their lives and who are listening and following the Lord. That's the kind of race that God wants us to run. Let me pray, and we'll go into the passage. Holy Lord, thank you so much that you are the author and finisher of the race of faith. You are the one who starts it in us through faith in Jesus, and you are the one who finishes it in us through faith in Jesus. Help us to run the race with conviction, with love, with perseverance, that we may be found faithful and enter your gates with thanksgiving when we complete the finish, the race that you have given to each of us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is part of a series of messages that I've been going through with the English congregation, but I thought it would be appropriate for all of us. It's a series called Last Words, in which we look at the last words of those in Scripture, those heroes of the faith in Scripture, and actually some of those who were villains of the faith, and looking at the things that happened in their lives that we can learn from. So today's message is taken from two gray-haired saints of God, Simeon and Anna, as we look at their last words. And I want us, if we could, please, if you would rise, and what we're going to do is read the scripture all together. Would you please rise and read it in Chinese, if that is your language? Read it in English, if that is your language. And if we'll follow along on the screen as we go forward here. Ready? One, two, three. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, who was also there in the temple, she was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. You may be seated. And my apologies to anyone who spoke Cantonese or Mandarin if we went ahead of you on that slideshow. But as we think about Anna and Simeon, There are three words I want you to take away from this message. The words are patience, faithfulness, and risk takers. Patience, faithfulness, and risk takers. Those are words that are attributed to Anna and Simeon. They were very patient. And the sermon main idea is this: just because the delays that they experience may be also present in your life, perhaps there are times when you've had to wait for something to occur, maybe even an answer to prayer. Just because there are delays, that does not mean that God has abandoned you or me. God is still at work. God is still at work. Just because there are delays does not mean God has abandoned us. So both Anna and Simeon experienced long delays. If we think about Simeon, he spent his whole life in the temple waiting for the day when he would see the Messiah. And God had given him an impression through the Holy Spirit upon him. Now, when Scripture in the Old Testament says the Holy Spirit was upon someone, the Holy Spirit's ministry is very different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would rest upon someone for a particular instance and a particular task. But in the New Testament, for those of us who have accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and is constantly with us and constantly guiding us. But Simeon was waiting day after day until the day of his death, hoping, praying, trusting that God would let him see the Messiah. Anna also was someone who spoke for God and loved God. And even though she had been married probably at a young age, let's imagine that it was 20 years old, which was probably older at that time frame. But then she had been married for 7 years and then was a widow until her present age, which was 84. So what is that, those math majors? 57 years? Was that right? 57 years of following the Lord faithfully, waiting, being patient, trusting that God had a purpose for her life. Delays do not mean that God has abandoned us. In his perfect timing, he will show us his will. So the application is this, these three points. Life point number one: for them and for us, God has brought salvation at the perfect time. God brought salvation through Jesus. God allowed his son to be shown to both Simeon and Anna at that perfect moment when they were there in the temple. God brought salvation to your life, or offers you salvation at the perfect time. I know I used to regret that I had not come to know the Lord before I graduated from college, until a great pain had come into my life. I wish that I had followed him when I was in high school or even younger, or that my whole family had known the Lord. But God's timing is perfect. When he brought salvation into my heart, it was the day he had chosen for me. Was there a day for you? For many of you, there was a day when you came to know the Lord and follow the Lord. But for some of you who have never done that, perhaps today is the day. The timing of salvation is perfect. And something snaps on. It's almost like a light in a dark room. God allows us to see his gift. And suddenly, we become alive. The image of God is repaired, and he gives us life. Second life point: if we know the Lord, then his joy, praise, and truth will overflow from our hearts and lives. If we've come into a relationship with the Lord, like Anna and Simeon, one of the fruits of it should be joy, praise, and the speaking and love of truth. We will grow to love God's word. We will want to praise him. We will have joy in the midst of suffering. God says that that is the fruit. Now, perhaps you don't say that that's part of your walk with him right now. There are dark moments. There are moments of doubt. There's moments of fear. There are moments of maybe wondering, what to do. That does not mean that God is not still in charge. If we have a view toward the Savior, He will fill us with joy, love, patience, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All we need do is surrender to Him and let Him fill us. Fall in love with Him again. Set aside time with Him, just the way you would with someone that you enjoy being with, or you would do for your favorite hobby. Spend time with the Lord. Quality time, not the last few seconds before you fall asleep. Lord, thank you for the day. Time that is quality time. Take a date with the Lord. Enjoy Him. And if we have that Holy Spirit flowing through us, He will give us that joy. Amen? And for those of us who are facing gray-haired times, it should be an indication that we don't grow. You know, I've known some individuals who grow gray in hair, but more gray in their heart, and they're full of complaining about everything. There is a ministry for those of us who are growing older and wiser in the Lord. It is to exhibit joy. It is to teach the young people in the faith to be models, not to be models of complaining or impatience, but models of love and joy. And the only way we can do that is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Third life point that we learn from Anna and Simeon. Maturity in faith means fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. As we mature in faith, God has a purpose that He is going to fulfill in you and through you. No matter what age you may be. I mean, oftentimes I'll see someone start out in the faith, running really fast like that sprinter. But like the woman who finished the race and came in first at the end, the last shall be first. Finish the race well. So maturity means following God's pattern, His race for you. What is that race for you? I said one word for growing older with wisdom and faith is risk-taking. I suggest to you that it shouldn't be these 20-year-olds that are going off on mission trips. I think some of you 60, 70, and 80, and 90-year-olds should be going off on mission trips. Because when you think about it, how long do you have left? Time is short. Use it well. We don't know how long we have. But God says, use every moment for an opportunity. We knew a friend of ours named Rose Uehara and her husband, Henry, who were great models of faith for us as they grew older and older. And one of the things that they would do is they said, you know, I'm retired. He was a retired civil engineer. He had the beautiful house. He'd invested well. They gave to ministries. But they decided in some of their senior years to go and teach English in China. Opportunities to interact. For year after year, summer after summer, they did that. And after Henry passed away, Rose continued to either invest or pray for, and sometimes even talk with others who were planning on going. I watched them also steward their lives. For one of the things that I noticed is, they, for once, when they started, they had two sons. They lived in a four-bedroom house. And as they shrank down their house to smaller and smaller sizes, they let their other house be used by ministry teams and ministry groups, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, even our family. They looked at ways to not make a profit, but to make an inroad and profit for God. How can His kingdom grow? Use what they had. So as they went into smaller and smaller places, they had to get rid of more and more stuff. Now, I know some of you are making that decision now as you've grown older, as going from a larger place where your children have left, if you have children, and to a smaller place, and you've got to get rid of stuff, you know, like, and you're grumbling about it. It's so hard, all these years of being a pack rat. But how could you use those things that you've accumulated to bless others? How could you invest them? And as you go into a smaller place, remember, none of what we have is going to be taken with us. No clothes, no hundreds of shoes or books or record albums or anything is going to be taken with us. The only thing that will go with us is what we've invested for the kingdom of God. All the results of that, love, joy, peace, patience, those things go on. Nothing else will go on. So as we age, we should be greater risk takers, not less risk takers. We should be models of what it means. I've taken that to heart, and I think some of you have as well. Going off to Los Angeles, you know, there's a possibility of a position doing some things, but we don't know for sure. All we know is that even though there was an opportunity even to stay here or to serve in a church in Arlington, that was a possible place, God said, trust him. Go and not know. So when we climb in that car on July 16th, after the prayer, we actually don't have a full agenda other than just to go to Los Angeles. We think we know what might happen, but we know the Lord said, go, like he told Simeon, go to the temple that day and watch what happens. So we're going to go across the country and not know for sure. Now, I used to be a former career counselor. Telling someone to do something like that at my age is pretty suicidal. Like, you realize jobs are hard to find, right? Yes, but the Lord knows. And if it's for his kingdom and he says to do it, we do it. So pray with us about that. And pray for yourself. How might you exhibit the faith of Anna and Simeon as well? Be willing to fulfill God's purpose for you. Now, I'm speaking to the gray-haired people, but those of you who are younger and have no gray hair at all, you know this lesson is for you. Because if you want to finish that race, you need to start the race well. Live with patience, faith, and risk-taking is part of your DNA. And we will be able to remember the last words of Anna and Simeon in a way that makes a difference. Let's pray. Holy Father, again, we thank you so much for the grace that you give to us through Jesus. And we thank you for the adventure of every day and what you have planned. We ask that you would show us how to live more faithfully, to hold on to fewer things in this world, so that we might be able to grab hold of you with open arms and nothing encumbering us. Help us, Lord, to follow you with our whole being. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.